Joe, when last we met, I was but a learner. Now I am the master.
Only a master of evil, Torn.
Let's settle this online.
At toyhut.com?
I like that idea.
We have a new sponsor.
Hooray, the ultimate Star Wars fan store.
Toyhut.com.
No fooling.
That's two T's.
That's like Jabba the. So when you're typing in toyhut.com, it's T-O-Y-H-U-T-T. And we are pleased as punch to have them as our sponsors. Because they're created by collectors for collectors.
The ultimate Star Wars fan store.
They ship worldwide daily.
And they have custom shipping boxes made just for action figures.
That's awesome.
So if you appreciate the podcast, it would be really great if you could go check out our sponsor. They're our very first one. We're pretty excited.
And that makes them the best.
That makes them the best because they're the first. They approached us. We didn't even think it was time for us to do this yet. But
it's like losing your virginity, only less awkward.
Well, there's Star Wars action figures involved.
And for all you Caustic Soda listeners, 10% off.
With the promo code Caustic.
When you go to check out, put in Caustic and you will get 10% off.
Oh, type IG-88 into the search function because that's my favorite Star Wars character.
Oh, IG-88.
There it is.
Only $10.55 for IG-88.
Sold.
A deal I would like at toyhut.com. My earthquake scale goes up to 12. It's louder. I'm Kevin Leeson.
The only quake I'm sorry I missed is Boobquake. I'm Joe Foldrum.
Swiss mad scientist on trial for earthquake machine. I'm Torn Atkinson with the results tonight on Caustic Soda.
Bam! Seismos is Greek for earthquake.
Either that or Greek for that dude who's really fat, Seismos.
Supersize-most me?
Supersize-most me.
And the phobia of earthquakes is?
Seismophobia.
Good call.
All right.
Everyone knows how earthquakes work. There's plate tectonics. There's plates. They're scraping. Well, they build up pressure, and then they release, and there's a kablooey.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I thought you were going to say we don't have to explain, but you just did. Well, and I was going to point out that in our last episode, somebody didn't know what an elevator was, so I thought maybe we did need to explain. Oh. But you did, so it's good.
So, here's a pop quiz then. You guys ready?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Lithosphere. Lithosphere.
Okay.
Don't spell it. Tell me what it is.
That's the upper layer of the Earth's crust?
Yes. Well, it's the outer solid part of the Earth, including the crust and uppermost mantle.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Oh, nice.
It's the thing we're standing
ding, on. Ding, 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 Joe. You could compete on Teen Jeopardy.
Hypocenter.
I know this one.
Oh, that's that place right down by Main and Hastings where they give you free needles.
That is the part underneath the epicenter deep in the ground that is actually the source of the earthquake.
Correct.
Oh, my. What the?
I know.
Foreshocks.
I know this one, too.
It's when you have a mountain bike that you're going on such rough terrain you need foreshocks instead of two.
I thought it was the amount of electric current, or the amount of times you need to pass electric current through your brain to make you funny. I'm sorry. No, that's that is the precursor to the actual big earthquake.
It's true, as opposed to aftershocks.
Yes,
foreshocks. It's like prequel and antequel.
It's no, like, that's not how it goes. It's like the sound you make just before you unbuckle your belt. You go, right. So the is the foreshock.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, that was analogous
again.
Yeah, I'm fat. That's what I'm saying.
P wave.
Well, that's when you're on a road trip and you're on your third Gatorade, but you haven't had to make a gas stop yet. And then when you finally do, you're riding the P wave.
P wave is primary wave. It's a compressional wave, a seismic body wave that shakes the ground back and forth in the same direction. In the opposite direction is the direction the wave
is moving.
So
this is like that video when there was an earthquake in Washington State where you see that bridge like just weaving back and forth.
I think that the bridge you're thinking of, is it that the video with the guy walking straight down the middle of it in the middle of the...
No, it's black and white and there's cars on it and it's like it's from the 30s.
Yeah. Oh, and it's
pretty sure that's I'm pretty sure that's not an earthquake, but a resonant frequency because of they built the bridge wrong and the wind just started pushing it and it built it.
Oh, but that's what a P wave would look like maybe.
I think you're thinking of S waves, secondary waves.
I'm really at the lunch on this one.
All right. Asthenosphere. Asthenosphere.
Asthenosphere.
Asthenosphere.
That's when your ass is at its most attractive. Ass thinosphere.
I'm disappointed in you, Kevin.
I'm gonna say it's the part of the Earth that's below the lithosphere.
Ding 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 ding.
Totally a guess.
Is Joe cheating?
No,
seriously.
Look, I scrolled it away. I'm not even
looking. Joe isn't cheating, and he knows all the answers.
Or this one's for you,
I
Kevin.
Didn't know what
a little bit
was.
Suspect.
This one's for you. Interplate coupling.
Sounds like my last weekend.
Wow, hot.
Yeah, except for the plates.
That's the ability of a fault between two plates to lock and accumulate stress. Right. Well, does this one sound like your last weekend?
Yeah.
Love waves.
Yahoo. Yeah, you slap the thigh and ride the love wave in.
There's a lot of that coming off the Pride Parade last week.
Love waves?
Love waves. Love waves. Love waves.
Named after A.E.H. Love, who predicted the existence of love waves mathematically in 1911.
So wait, it has nothing to do with the quality of the wave. It's actually named after an individual.
Yeah, seismic waves that cause horizontal shifting of the Earth. Also known as Q waves, because quer is German for lateral.
There you go.
Pronounce that
the Germans don't, well, you know what that means?
So
Germans don't love.
Fuck the Germans, let's call them L waves for lateral waves.
And love waves.
And love waves. Yep, sorry, Germans.
Yep, Q's out, L's
uh-oh.
In.
Uh-oh. Here they come. They're going to invade us.
Does everyone know how the Richter scale works?
Kind of.
I know that the Richter scale is exponential. Every point.
I think logarithmic may be the correct term.
Oh.
I don't really know what the difference between exponential and logarithmic is.
Well, logarithmic has rhythm in it, which kind of, goes along with earthquakes nicely.
But what you're saying that an earthquake of 5 is 10 times greater than an earthquake of 4 on the Richter scale.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Is that that's not exponential, is it? No, that's like a factor of.
Yeah. It's logarithmic.
I used to be good at math at one point in time in my life.
But do you guys know about the Mercalli scale?
No, I don't know anything about the Mercalli scale.
So the Richter scale quantifies the size.
Right, the severity.
But the Mercalli scale quantifies the damage.
Oh, like the...
So you can have a really big earthquake that doesn't cause much damage because it's not... in the middle of the city or something
So it calculates the human cost.
Kind of. Not exactly.
Right.
Here.
The structural damage.
Let me give you an example.
Okay. Lay it on me.
It actually goes up to, first I'll tell you that it actually goes up to 12, and it's in Roman numerals. Yes.
Wow. The Mercalli, Mr. Mercalli was a pretentious ass. That's what that means. It's like, screw 10, metric, you can go to hell.
So Mercalli scale IV, moderate, felt indoors by many people, outdoors by a few people during the day. At night, some awakened, dishes, windows, doors disturbed, walls make cracking sound.
The hurricane guys are, force factor 5, right? Mercalli's 12, Richter's 10. Couldn't they just pick a standard?
Can't we all just get along?
Yeah, like what the...
I think what happens is they create new standards when they find that the old standard was inferior.
Are you guys ready for another pop quiz on the Mercalli scale?
Okay. All right, I can't
wait. Shoot the hostage.
Yeah.
Actually, let's do a couple Richters.
Okay.
And then we'll do a couple Mercallis.
Okay. I'm excited about this.
So I'm going to tell you what it is.
And we'll tell you what score.
And you tell me what it is, where it is on the Richter scale.
And Richter's out of 10, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Large hand grenade.
Oh, that can be on the Richter scale?
That's the Richter scale.
I'm going to go with 1.
I'll go with 2.5.
0.5.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, right. I win, Price is Right.
No, you don't. We're both over. We both lose.
Oh,
Price is
God.
Right.
Yeah.
Chernobyl nuclear disaster.
Now I'm going to go 1.
I'm going to go 0 because I don't think there was much of an explosion at all.
3.5.
Oh, jeez. Oh. Look at that.
There you go.
There's an explosion. Didn't we do an episode on that?
We talked about Chernobyl and radiation. We didn't talk about the Richter impact, obviously.
Okay, so Tsar Bomba, the largest thermonuclear weapon ever tested.
6.8.
I'm going to go 5.
7.1.
Hey, I was dangerously close.
I know.
Totally win on the Price is Right. I think I get both the car and the hot tub.
Yucatan Peninsula impact, creating the Chicxulub crater 65 million years ago.
Oh, that's got to be a 10.
Yeah, if not more, but 10, yeah.
12.55.
Yeah. Well, I thought you said it was out of 10.
Pretty fucked up, eh? So big that was.
It's out of 10, but they scored a 12.5?
Do you guys know?
Wait, hold on a sec. This is like, oh, my guitar goes up to 11.
That's right.
Well, why don't you just make it all out of 10? Make 10 louder.
But,
because it's 11.
But this one goes to 11, which is one more.
Now to the Mercalli scale.
Okay, all right.
I'm just going
to
give you a
which actually points. Does go up to 12, which means something's going to score 15 on it.
Delicately suspended objects may swing.
That's a 1.
Yeah, I agree.
2.
Oh. Well, what's a 1? Hold on a sec. Delicate objects may swing lightly? That's a 2? What's a 1? A 1 is you don't notice anything at all.
Yes, that's correct. There's no 0 on this scale.
Bastards.
So the one is in effect the 0.
Well, here's the thing. Since we thought the scale started at 0,
we should have guessed 2.
We would have guessed 2.
Yeah, so we would have been right. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Many frightened and run outdoors, walk unsteadily. Books fall off shelves, glassware broken, a few instances of fallen plaster.
4.
4.
VI.
That's 6.
6?
Wow.
A book falls off a shelf? This Mercalli scale should be called the Wussy scale.
Bridges destroyed, rails bent greatly.
8. No, if book falling off a shelf was 6, it's got to be 10.
I'm gonna actually go with the 8.
XI.
Oh, 11. I don't like this Mercalli guy one bit.
Total destruction.
12.
Yeah.
You win.
All right.
Yeah. No, Kevin wins that one.
I'm standing here. I'm stating it right here and now. I'm not in favor of the Mercalli scale. I don't like this guy's methodology one bit.
Okay, so now I'm looking at it. I've actually experienced a 3 on the Mercalli scale. Tremor noticed by many, but they often do not realize it is an earthquake.
Oh, yeah, that happened to me once. I was living in a place that was like just off a highway, and I thought a really big truck went by, and then I realized, like, you know, the big rumble.
Right.
And then I realized that it went on for like a minute and a half, and I went, is this like a convoy of trucks? Like, what is happening here? And then
it's exactly what happened to me. I grew up my then girlfriend, which is, I believe, my wife, and a friend that was...
should get that straightened out.
Well, yeah. Some girl, you know, it's not important. And another friend of mine was over at my house. We were going to go out and see a play, and we're just sitting there talking before we leave. And we just all kind of stopped and looked at each other and went, do you feel that? What's going on? We kind of looked around, and sure enough, a few things hanging were swinging a bit. And we're like, yeah, and it's still going. Okay. Is this an earthquake? Yep. But that was it. That's all we could feel.
I was watching X-Files with my girlfriend in her apartment. This is when I just moved to
Vancouver. Wait, was this your girlfriend now or your girlfriend at the time?
Presently ex-girlfriend.
Okay, there you go.
And
at least you know. Joe doesn't even know.
They all meld together.
They had boobies, I think.
Yeah, I think.
And everything started shaking, and it was an earthquake, and my girlfriend got up and had a panic attack, and he was like, what do we do?
Stand in the doorway.
Wait it out, baby.
Stand in the doorway. That's what I was told.
And we waited it out and went away.
Were you dating a dog? Like, oh my God, things are moving.
No, she had boobies. So we all know that several million earthquakes occur every year.
Oh, yeah.
Approximately every 11 seconds there's an earthquake.
Somewhere on the planet?
Somewhere on the planet. Most of which, of course, cannot be felt.
Yeah.
Every 11 seconds.
But they are.
Most of which are number ones on the Mercalli scale.
Exactly.
Or two, even.
So what happens in an earthquake? Lots of crazy things.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's a shaking, but one of the things that people don't think about very much, which can cause a lot of damage, is what's called soil liquefaction. If you were to have a jar of, say, sand, and you were to put marble on top of it, it would sit in the sand just fine, right?
I'm following.
But if
so
you were
far.
To then put that thing of sand on, say, a paint shaker, and it would just vibrate, there would be a frequency where the soil would start to just behave as though it were a liquid, and that marble would fall down into the soil. It would sink.
Okay.
And that's what happens during an earthquake a lot. Depending on how the city's been built, what the bedrock it's.
Yeah, the quality of the soil.
The quality of the soil, that kind of thing. I do know that they say that around here, Richmond and even White Rock, if we have a big earthquake, might be in big trouble from damage due to soil.
Yeah, well, because like half of Richmond is landfill. Like,
right.
It's not even
it's actual, just a bunch of sand
like,
put on top soil. Of
yeah.
on top of the ocean to build up a place to live. Yeah. So that can be major. They've done they do liquefaction studies, liquefaction susceptibility studies. They've got one here on Wikipedia of San Francisco Bay, showing the danger, and you can see. Right up against the shore, a lot of this is very high danger. A lot of it is high. Could cause some major damage if just the right type of earthquake hit.
That it would liquefy the earth beneath your feet.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. And then when it stops, of course, it stops being liquefied and you're stuck. Or your building is stuck. Or your building has toppled over simply because it's now kind of standing on what acts like liquid.
This could totally be a sci-fi TV original movie. TM.
So one of the things I learned that was super crazy interesting while I was researching this is that the resonant frequency it takes is a large component of the damage. So everyone knows that when you take a fat opera singer and they sing at a certain frequency, it may shatter glasses.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because their voice waves are the same amplitude or frequency.
They are the resonant frequency of the crystal in the glass.
Because everything has its own frequency.
Right.
So, including me.
Including you and including buildings. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in the Mexico City earthquake in 1985.
I think I remember that one. That was a big one.
Yeah, that was a big bad one.
What was that on the Richter scale? Do we know?
8.1.
Wow, that's a big one.
So after this all happened, they went downtown, and some buildings had totally collapsed. All the ones right next to it were fine.
Oh, and they stopped and went, wait, why did that building fall apart and this building not?
So they figured out it was the height of the buildings, because the different height of buildings dictates the resonant frequency of the building. So,
because like how fast or how slow they sway or something like that?
Well, basically, the lake bed sediments that Mexico City was built on were resonating at the same frequency of these buildings. Mm-hmm. So it shook these particular height of buildings, which were between 6 to 15 stories.
Okay.
And they would shake them a lot harder.
Okay. Yeah, what happens with a resonant frequency is because the energy being put into it is coming at the resonant frequency of that object, say the building, it holds on to that force and keeps moving, but then of course the earthquake keeps adding more force, which it also holds on to and keeps up, and it just builds up and builds up until it causes massive damage. Where normally a wave would pass through objects, it would cause damage, but
right.
hit, pass through, and keep going. But when it's the resonant frequency, it's just right tuned
it to oscillates.
Like stick in there and build up.
All right, okay.
That's the dummy's explanation of what it is.
I need a dummy's explanation.
Pretty keen, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But what other kind of damages come from earthquakes?
I saw a picture from that Mexico City earthquake that some guy was having sex with a chicken right when the building fell on his head. And so they've got this picture of a guy, his pants down around his ankles with this giant piece of cement crushing his head. He's roasting the chicken on his spit, if you know what I mean.
Ooh. So of course, as I was saying, fires. Caused by broken gas mains, caused a lot of death,
right? Okay,
a lot of damage. For example, the 1906 San Francisco earthquake there was a 4-day firestorm.
Wow!
From all the fires, up to 90% of the destruction was a result of the subsequent fires. And worst of all, many of these fires were started when firefighters, untrained in the use of dynamite, attempted to demolish buildings to create fire breaks.
Dough.
And then, of course, tsunami, or another side effect of earthquakes, as we all know.
That is definitely, that's the granddaddy of all side effects, pretty much, isn't it?
But here's an interesting thing. You can get tsunami from earthquakes that don't even happen out at sea. Because an earthquake happens on the coast, it may collapse. There may be basically an underwater landslide that displaces a lot of the water.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's happened before.
Yeah, they get super waves from that or something. I saw a show on it on PBS one time.
Super waves!
Yeah.
With wavy powers far beyond those of mortal waves.
So the largest earthquake in recorded history, well, recorded with the seismometer.
Is it really a seismometer?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
But if it records it, it's a seismometer.
I was about to say it's a temperature gauge for a really fat guy.
The seismometer.
That's a seismometer, not a seismometer. Okay. Chile, 1960, 9.5.
9.5.
5,700 dead. Seismographs recorded seismic waves that traveled all around the Earth. These seismic waves shook the entire Earth for many days.
For days?
For many days.
Well, that's a spicier Chile.
The resulting tsunami affected Hawaii, Japan, Philippines, New Zealand, Australia, Alaska. Up to 85.
Oh, there was an earthquake in Chile.
That caused a tsunami.
That caused a tsunami that hit Alaska.
Yes, sir.
Woof.
35-foot waves were recorded in Japan, whereas along the Chilean coast, 82 feet.
surfers must have been going bonkers.
Wow, so that's like straight across the ocean. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. From,
that is a big
and north-south, distance, too. Yeah. There's a north-south like divide there as well, but 9.5. Wow. 1960. Ooh.
But here's the best part of the Chilean earthquake.
If there is a best
and
part.
And by best, I mean possibly the worst. In the coastal village, Kalalufu, natives carried out a ritual human sacrifice during the days following the earthquake.
In order to appeal to their pagan gods to try and make it stop?
Yeah. Juan Añen, a local, demanded the sacrifice of the grandson of a neighbor in order to calm the earth and the ocean.
So he volunteered somebody else's grandson.
Yes.
Like, dude, we got to sacrifice, and just looking up and down the street, that kid.
5-year-old Jose.
Jose would not get off his lawn.
Yeah, that's right. That Jose put a baseball through my window 3 days ago. Sacrifice.
He had his arms and legs removed by Juan and his grandfather.
So this was largely unsanctioned. This was just a full-on grab that kid and sacrifice him.
And was stuck into the sand of the beach like a stake. The waters of the Pacific Ocean then carried the body out to sea.
Oh, this is horrifying.
that's what I said. So the sacrifice came to be known after a boy in the commune of Nueva Imperial denounced to local leaders the theft of 2 horses that were allegedly eaten during the ritual sacrifice. The 2 men were charged with crime and released after 2 years. But a judge ruled that those involved had acted without free will, driven by an irresistible natural force of ancestral tradition.
What? I'm sorry, that's normally your line, but what?
Yeah, you know what? I can understand when that native band in Seattle, like, you know, it's our ancestral tradition to go hunt a whale. And I know people get upset about that or whatever, but I can shrug that one off. When your ancestral tradition is to sacrifice your neighbor's grandson, I think maybe you got to draw a line somewhere.
Yeah, and you're going to have to start changing that ancestral tradition by making those guys stay in jail for longer.
Or
so all the other guys are like, next earthquake, they don't go, hey, let's sacrifice Billy. Hey, whoa, don't you remember what happened last time they found out?
Or it could be the jail system's ancestral tradition to sacrifice them to make the jails better. Or
we should start making our own ancestral traditions.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
My ancestral tradition, I get to sleep in every day.
Oh, yeah. Why are we late for work? Ancestral tradition.
Yeah. Don't judge me.
Certainly don't send me to jail.
Number 2, the Great Alaskan Earthquake, also known as the Good Friday Earthquake.
I don't think that Friday was all that good.
1964, March 28th, 9.2.
I think this was one of these earthquakes that actually caused a super wave that I heard about.
The tsunamis directly caused about 131 deaths.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. I did hear about that one.
And there were over 10,000 aftershocks. Aftershocks.
Aftershocks. Those are the bitiest of all the aftershocks.
A great fissure opens in the ocean and outpour the aftershocks.
They're much more dangerous than the foresharks.
No, it's one of those, instead of just the crack opening up in the earth, it opens and closes many, many times, like the jaws of a shark, yeah, and crushes, as well as...
Anyway, there were 10,000 aftershocks.
10,000 aftershocks.
And megathrust in some areas near Kodiak were permanently raised them by 30 feet, these areas.
A mega thrust. That's what you call something when it's raised higher than it was before.
I guess so. Hmm. World's worst earthquakes as measured by death toll.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Shaanxi province, central China.
All right. Lay it on me. What are the details?
Magnitude, 8, approximately. Death toll, 830,000. Most people lived in caves carved from soft rock.
Well, when the hell was this?
This was 1556.
Oh. Okay, well,
that's why it's approximately 8.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, and approximately 830,000 people.
Yeah.
So I always wonder about these things.
Collapsed.
Yeah, they always have these sort of, you know, it's we got it from ancient documentation or whatever, right? Oh, the Mongols killed 60 million people, approximately. This earthquake was approximately an 8. It killed approximately 830,000 people. I don't know. Like, I take all those sort of. It sounds like voodoo science to me.
Here's
right?
the thing: even if they only killed half that many,
oh, it's still pretty.
That's
don't get
a
me wrong.
Lot. That's still over 100 times more people than died in 9/11.
I think the lesson to be learned here is: if you're going to get caught in an 8.0 Richter scale earthquake, don't live in a cave.
Yeah, big props to modern technology in buildings.
Yeah, and taking you out of the caves.
Yeah.
Get out of my cave. Get into my
fissure.
It does say here that it's helpful that the Chinese have long had efficient bureaucracies, which were able to document the casualties as long ago as the 1500s.
There you go.
Oh, well, there you go. All right.
It's true. It's one thing that that
Confucius says.
Yeah.
Confucius says, write down the names of dead people.
He was a wise, wise man. And then number two, also in China, Tangshan, 1976, 7.5, 242,000 people. May have been higher. The Chinese government is thought to have deliberately understated the numbers for political reasons.
This is one of those situations where, you know, it's kind of unfair, right? You know, you got a 9.5 in Chile, which causes 35-foot tsunamis all the way as far as Japan. But, I mean, what's the population of Chile? Like a couple million people, right? Where you got China, you got a billion people, you're going to crank out the death toll. They're all jammed into...
Yeah,
they're like
high population density,
they got,
sure.
They got 10-person bunk beds in caves, right? You know, so it's kind of, you know... They were destined to crank out the top two on that particular death toll list.
There are, as of April 2010, 17 million people living in Chile.
Yeah. Well, you get like
and so
10%. Yeah, exactly. Who knows? 10% of the size of China.
Do you guys know what number four is? I'm just going to skip number three. I'm going to go straight to number four.
Oh, you didn't like number three?
Oh, number four is more relevant to me and you.
Okay, lay it on me.
Because it happened this year.
2010.
Haiti.
That's number four in the all-time death toll list?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. 222,000.
Well, yeah, but again, if you're going to get stuck in a... What was the magnitude?
Seven.
If you're going to get stuck in a 7.0 Richter scale earthquake, don't live in a shantytown.
It's generally good advice all around. Earthquake or no. Don't
you know,
live
I don't,
in a shantytown.
I don't think all of Haiti is a shantytown.
Well, when they showed the devastation, there's a lot of shanty.
Well, it looks pretty shanty after an earthquake.
I guess that's true.
I would not live there. That place that just got devastated by an earthquake. Canceling my plans.
All their buildings are on odd angles and lying down sideways.
That's aesthetically displeasing.
Yeah, and all the arms and legs sticking out of all the rubble. I don't like that.
Funny, that's the part I did like.
It's ruining my view of the ocean. I guess, anybody want to play a game of Lesser of Two Evils?
Oh, yes, let's do.
Yeah.
All right.
It's time for... Lesser of Two Evils. Would you rather be in an earthquake? Let's say a 9.5 earthquake.
Ooh,
okay, all right. Set the bar high, right?
We're saying 9.5 Richter.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Not okay. Mercalli.
Not the Mercalli scale.
Okay.
Although that's also bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like the Mercalli scale.
Or... tornado. Caught in a tornado.
Okay, well...
Like lifted up? We're talking about it strikes by you?
Yeah, you're standing on the street and you get picked up and thrown by a tornado. Here's my opinion on this. Here's where I stand on this issue. We had several stories in the tornado episode about people who were lifted up by a tornado and deposited miles away relatively unscathed.
It's true.
Yeah.
Where
but they are by far the exception. Where... Let's be clear about that.
Whereas if you're in the middle of a 9.5er and the aftershocks start coming. That's exactly what the earth sounds like. Right before it opens up right beneath your feet. That's why it's an aftershock.
I think we've got the script for Tremors 4.
No.
Just about ready
after
to go.
Sharks.
No, Jaws 5.
What about Tremors meets Jaws?
Tremors, yeah.
Tremors versus
Tremors
Jaws.
Versus
oh,
Jaws.
Yeah.
It's like Aliens versus Predator.
Yeah, Versus is really popular in the movies these days. I'm going to go with tornado.
Yeah.
Because it's really localized in its impact point. You know, you see that spout coming and you can maybe get to a place of safety or whatever. There's nowhere to hide from a 9.5.
It's true. There's definitely less of a warning, generally speaking, from tornadoes, period. Because you can get the conditions are right for a tornado. You know it. There's the conditions are right for an earthquake today. They don't have that technology.
Just happens.
No, absolutely. What about you, Joe?
I'm actually going to go with earthquake. Because I think that if I can get over the sheer terror of either one of them, like let's say both of them, I could somehow consciously just be like, okay, I'm going to deal with this. I might be able to actually enjoy the earthquake. It would be kind of like the earth is giving me a big massage, you know? And maybe.
If you're laying down in your easy chair when the earthquake happens, you're okay.
Waterbed.
water.
Who has those?
Hey, somebody probably still has one in their basement.
Resonant frequency hits, you're massaging for days later.
Yeah, exactly. You get it's like nonstop shiatsu.
It would be amazing.
You could actually liquefaction your bones.
And so I might die, but at least it'll feel better than being flung through the air. It'd be like a tornado would be like being picked up by an angry giant and swung around. Rah!
As opposed to getting thrown down to the ground by an angry giant smashed by something falling on you.
Be on the ground.
Or in a doorway
or underneath something.
Although I hear that's not what we're supposed to do anymore.
So I'm going to say 9.5 earthquake, providing I'm driving through Saskatchewan at the time.
There's nothing to fall on you. The worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to go off the road into a field of corn.
It's going to be like Superman.
It's going to be that movie. Big rift in the
crack. The rift is going to open up under your car, and you're going to fall in, and it's going to close on you.
Days shorter after Chilean earthquake?
Possibly.
Okay. Like what, the Chilean day was shorter?
No,
not just the earth.
Oh, okay.
The earth was wobbled or perhaps compressed.
The same thing happened during the Thailand tsunami, didn't it? I heard that there was a blip in our rotation as a result of that tsunami.
Right. It's entirely possible. Yeah. And I haven't seen any follow-ups about this that have basically where they've measured how long the day is afterwards. So I don't know if this is even turned, because I'm pretty sure that they can very accurately measure of the day.
I guarantee the reason it never gained traction is somebody thought this was a pretty sexy story until they realized that the day was like, you know, 0.08 of a second shorter or something.
I think it was like 1 point something of a microsecond.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it lost all of its sex appeal for news editors.
Should have
instantly.
Gotten shorter by 1.26 microseconds, which is a microsecond is a millionth of a second.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go.
That'll give me time to get my counting done.
Yeah, all of a sudden I'm not going to be late for work. I got another 1.26 microseconds. Sweet, I can have that second cup of coffee.
Here we go, you're right. The magnitude 9.1 Sumatran in 2004 that generated an Indian Ocean tsunami shortened the day by 6.8 microseconds.
Oh, that's a lot more.
That's a lot more. It's like 5 to 6
days
times
are getting
more.
Shorter.
And shifted the axis by about 2.3 milliarc seconds, which would mean millionths of an arc second.
Geologist stands trial for triggering earthquakes in Switzerland.
What?
He stands trial for what?
For triggering earthquakes in Switzerland.
Wait, hold on.
This is Lex Luthor.
I was about to say, this is total supervillain stuff. Now, did he live in Switzerland, and so that's where he triggered, like, so he's a Swiss scientist that's triggering earthquakes? Or was he in, like, Luxembourg, and he was firing earthquakes at Switzerland? I hate those bastards.
Let me tell you all about it.
Take that
neutrality. This was 16th of December 2009. Uh-huh. Marcus Hering, who designed a geothermal project, rejected allegations that he deliberately damaged properties and said local people knew the risks. The deep drilling underground caused a series of earthquakes in 2006, including one of 3.4 magnitude, rattling residents of the northwestern city of Basel. Or Basel.
Oh, nice.
The project was suspended at the time and shut down last week, this being in December. After a risk analysis, concluded that more quakes could follow if the drilling continues. The experiment aimed to be the world's first to generate power commercially by boiling water on naturally occurring rocks 3 miles underground.
Mm-hmm. Now, geothermal, that's what that energy is.
Yeah, the quakes were in 2006, is that what you said?
Yeah.
But they didn't shut it down until 2009.
The trial.
Oh, the trial was 2009. Okay, but they shut it down in 2006.
And he testified, we had very little knowledge of seismicity. A learning process for everyone involved.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that nice? And, you know, it was the same with our lobotomy episode. It was we just scrambled their brains until they stopped talking, and lo and behold.
We shouldn't do that? Yeah.
Baptism by fire is what I call that, I believe. Hey. Here's how he got caught. Here's how he got caught. The police showed up at his lab. They went, hey, we think that these earthquakes were caused by your experiment. And he went, and then he said, no, it wasn't me. And they, we don't believe you. And they took him into custody.
They didn't believe me. The fools, I've shown them. I've shown them all.
Should we talk about Boobquake then?
Oh, I love Boobquake. Nice. Although I didn't get to go. I had a big online meeting with one of my clients the exact time that Boobquake was on, so I couldn't go.
You couldn't put, in your little messenger,
can't go
to Boobquake, well, or out for Boobquake.
I don't have boobs. I only would have been there as an observer, and apparently too many of those. Let me get to that.
Is the Boobquake event in the news?
Yes.
Sure.
April 26th.
Yeah. No one's going to do it?
We've already started in the news. It's a little late.
Right. Way to go. So what it was is Boobquake was a response to news reports that Hojatul Islam Kazem Siddiqui.
Hojatul Islam means an Islam authority. Okay. Islam.
So yeah, he's an Islamic cleric who can cast cure light wounds twice a day. Kazem Siddiqui, he blamed women who dress immodestly for causing earthquakes.
What was the quote exactly?
Many women who do not dress modestly lead young men astray, corrupt their chastity, and spread adultery in society, which increases earthquakes. And Iranians should, quote, adapt their lives to Islam's moral codes to avoid, quote, being buried under the rubble.
That is a leap of logic that is hard to even fathom.
It's marvelous, isn't it? But the thing is, people eat it up. They just go, well, you listen to this guy, so it must be true.
So the response by this senior in the Purdue University College of Science was to...
Jennifer McCrate.
Yes. Yeah. It was to basically get everyone to dress...
Immodestly.
And
see if earthquakes would spike.
Yeah, right. Exactly. She was actually...
So the scientific...
it was totally indifferent. Scientific. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
So she did. Apparently, there were several good showings of women showing up and being immodest. Vancouver was one of them, apparently, with even some topless women. They were more outnumbered by just men being there and ogling and taking pictures, which is really too bad.
With the popular refrain, I have a scientific experiment in my pants.
But the good news is that Zazzle.com sold t-shirts, official t-shirts, Boobquake t-shirts. And the proceeds went to the Red Cross to benefit earthquake recovery, and to the James Randi Educational Foundation to support critical thinking.
Good stuff.
Hmm. Critical thinking and earthquake relief.
And Jennifer did follow through. She studied all the data she could get on earthquakes that happened post Boobquake.
And the seismic activity.
Were well within predicted amounts. There was no spike in earthquake behavior.
Do you want to get into movies, or should we do what to do during an earthquake?
I want to do what to do during an earthquake. Yeah.
I want to know what to do.
We got to have some actual useful information.
Sure. During an earthquake, drop to the ground. Take cover. Get under a sturdy table or piece of furniture. Hold on until the shaking stops.
Okay.
If there isn't a table or desk near you.
Yeah, because I guess if you're not holding on to the feet of the furniture that you're onto, it could just like shake away from you, and then you would no longer be underneath it, right?
You open your eyes. Oh.
Oh, hey, that didn't work. You don't open your eyes, but just something falls on
you. Of course,
on
in the movie, the table has shaken 12 feet to the left, but it's been crushed by the ceiling that collapsed on top of it.
Good thing I didn't move
with that. Oh, Hollywood has taught us anything.
Yeah, so don't move with the shaking desk, but hold on to
it. Yes.
If there isn't a table or desk near you, cover your face and head with your arms and crouch in an inside corner of the building.
Mm.
Stay away from glass windows, outside doors and walls, anything that could fall, lighting fixtures, furniture. Stay in bed if you are there.
Stay in bed if you are there. Every Sunday morning, it's like there's an earthquake.
Protect your head with a pillow. Unless you're under a heavy light fixture.
Yeah, then don't protect your head with a pillow.
Or
use a doorway for shelter only if it is in close proximity to you, and if you know it is a strongly supported load-bearing doorway.
Oh, so stand in a load-bearing doorway.
Yes.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Don't
All right.
stand in your patio... What would be a load bearing? What does that mean?
I'm not into construction, but I'm pretty sure anything that would go in or out of the house would definitely be load bearing.
That's right.
What about a door to your garage?
Door.
Let's look around us right now.
If the wall it's in could be taken out and the house would be fine, it's probably not load bearing.
Right.
Right.
So, if you need to open up your space,
the door to the studio we're in here, you could take this entire wall out and just make this room bigger.
I see.
So this is not load bearing. So it's probably not a good place to stand. This table, however, nice and well, not totally solid, but it's pretty good. We could get under this.
Let's do.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Let's pretend. All right. Earthquake drill.
Nobody moved.
Stay inside until the shaking stops, and it is safe to go outside. Research has shown that most injuries occur when people inside buildings attempt to move to a different location inside the house, the building, or try to leave.
Mm.
Now, if you're outdoors, stay there. Move away from buildings, streetlights, utility wires, which is hard if you're in a city because utility wires are everywhere. Once in the open, stay there until the shaking stops. The greatest danger exists directly outside buildings, at exits, and alongside exterior walls.
I once heard this story from this long-haul trucker who used to drive from the Lower Mainland here all the way up to the Northwest Territories in Alaska and stuff. And he was driving with a loaded rig going along the Alaska Highway. And he noticed that every car that he passed was in the ditch. He passed like 6 cars in a row that were just in the ditch. And I guess while he'd been driving, an earthquake had happened, and every car that was smaller than a fully loaded semi went flying off the road. But he had enough mass and momentum, I guess, to ignore it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Where didn't realize. This was on the Alaska Highway.
That's the Pacific Ring of Fire, my friend.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I had the Pacific Ring of Fire one time, and those hot wings were deadly. Actually, the Pacific Ring of Fire is spicy shrimp.
Many of the 120 fatalities from the 1933 Long Beach earthquake occurred when people ran outside of buildings, only to be killed by falling debris from collapsing walls.
Oh, Debris, Harry, have you gained so much weight?
What? She looks fine.
If in a moving vehicle, stop as quickly as safety permits. Stay in the vehicle. Avoid stopping near or under buildings, trees, overpasses, utility wires. Proceed cautiously once the earthquake has stopped.
Okay.
Avoid roads, bridges, ramps.
This all seems to fall in the common sense category.
But if trapped under debris. Do not light a match. Do not move about or kick up dust. Cover your mouth with a handkerchief or clothing. Tap on a pipe or wall so rescuers can locate you, as we discussed in the Buried Alive
episode. This is exactly the same advice they give you when you're buried alive. I guess this is buried alive.
Well, yeah, pretty much. Shout only as a last resort. Shouting can cause you to inhale dangerous amounts of dust.
Right. Choke hazard.
Now here's the important stuff to do. What to do after an earthquake.
All right.
Expect aftershocks, of course. And sometimes the earthquake that you think you just had is a foreshock.
Mm-hmm.
Get your battery-operated radio out and listen for latest emergency information. We all have one of those.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Use the telephone only for emergency calls.
You don't jam up those lines for...
Dude, did you feel that?
Exactly.
Or call movie phone or something.
It's an American thing.
It's a Seinfeld reference.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's American. That movie phone is real.
You know, absolutely. But they did a show on it in Seinfeld.
Open cabinets cautiously.
Things may have shifted while earthquake was going on.
Exactly. Contents may shift.
And there
earthquake.
Might be. There might be.
I'm going to write that in my apartment.
There might be an aftershock hiding inside.
An aftershock.
Jump out and bite you in the face.
And then, of course, tsunamis. Be aware.
So don't go down in sun on the beach right after an earthquake.
Or grab your surfboard and paddle out there.
Yeah.
Ride that puppy.
Yeah, exactly. Reap the benefits while they still can.
Clean up spilled medicines, bleaches, gasoline, other flammable liquids. Leave immediately if you smell gas or fumes. Inspect chimneys for damage. Check for gas leaks. Check for damage, basically.
Okay.
And then call a professional because they're not busy.
Yeah. Check your insurance policy, and if it's only good for fire, light your place on fire.
That's what we learned.
We've learned many things on Caustic Soda, not the least of which is insurance fraud.
Movies. Earthquake, 1974, Charlton Heston and Lorne Greene. Does anyone remember watching this movie?
I never saw it.
Joe, pay attention.
Which one?
Earthquake.
Stop surfing the net.
I'm surfing for surfing. I'm trying to find
That's
guys
so
surfing.
Meta.
He's surfing tsunamis.
Surfing a tsunami.
Yeah.
Earthquake, 1974.
No, never saw it.
I never saw it.
I'm surprised.
I'm just not a disaster movie fan, so I don't really watch any of those.
But you must have seen Superman.
Yes.
That was a disaster movie.
Yeah.
No, that was a superhero movie. So
oh,
of course
but it
was a superhero movie with Lex Luthor trying to sink California into the ocean.
It's all about realty.
Brilliant.
Lex Luthor.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, so Lex Luthor stole some nuclear weapons and pointed them at
the
fault
line.
Lines.
San Andreas Fault.
San Andreas Fault, which is actually not just one big line, but a whole series of small faults.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he did it.
Chain reaction.
Right.
He did it.
We're going to have to watch this again. I think I have the movie.
Oh, I know I have it.
All I recall about that is reversing the Earth's rotation to turn back time.
Lois
so he
Lane
could save
got
Lois
trapped
Lane.
In the chasm.
Here's what I want to know. Was that a carryover from the comic? Did that ever happen in the comic book? It was a completely Hollywood invention.
No, I think
invention.
Even comic fans who are watching that movie for the first time were like,
what?
Because I certainly was. Speaking of California falling off the mainland.
Sinking into the ocean.
Escape from L.A.?
Oh, yeah. The sequel to Escape from New York.
I was warned, so I haven't seen it.
In the year 2013, the city of Los Angeles has been separated from the country by a series of earthquakes. And like its neighbor, New York, has been transformed from a wonderful city to a corrupted prison.
Wonderful city.
It's like they needed the excuse to make it just like Escape from New York, the island prison, right?
Yeah.
So they did the exact same thing to L.A. and they just prefaced it with, an earthquake did this.
Do you think they did that because, like, why didn't they just want to go back to New York? Why did they? Just because it would be a different
title. Escaped. He escaped from New York.
Oh.
Yeah.
He needs to escape from somewhere.
Return to New York.
Ooh,
he could
that
done
would be good.
That, part
return
3.
Return to New York.
Part 3.
TM. Although, I got to give Snake Plissken is one of the greatest character names in film history.
Yeah. I thought he'd be taller, though.
Comics. So in comics, we have Avalanche, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Hey, there's a personification of the earthquake right there.
Oh, what a terrible character he is.
Well, a terrible costume.
Terrible costume and character.
He's pretty bland. He definitely doesn't have as much personality as Pyro. Or even the Blob. Or,
right.
Well, that's probably why in subsequent Brotherhood of Evil Mutants incarnations, Avalanche kind of...
He's always the background guy who deals with the less important hero that they're fighting.
And here's what I don't know. If your power is you can move Earth, like you can cause these little mini earthquakes or like tidal waves of Earth, right? He always seemed to go after like Colossus. You know what I'm saying? The guy who couldn't possibly be hurt by your attack, right? Like, why not, you know, hit Professor X or, you know, in...
I'm already in a wheelchair. It's terrible.
Take out Jean Grey or Cyclops or whatnot. Like, he always seemed to go toe-to-toe with Colossus, which never made any sense to me. Yeah, he's like screw
I'm so
that
powerful,
guy.
I'm going to take out the most powerful guy on.
Yeah.
Yeah. The but guy he, who I can't possibly do anything to. Let
this
me go
time I'm
going to
get
guy.
You for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was the part that really got on my skin about that Avalanche guy.
Whereas Joe, you'd say the worst part of that character was his costume.
His costume is brutally bad. It makes no sense. Yeah. He's wearing like a bullet helmet or something. And
he definitely, if you took the picture of the guy and said, this is a supervillain, what do you think his power is? What do you think he does?
Oh, he's got some kind of power armor.
Yeah, his power armor.
He's got
the big
shoulders and the helmet and
he's the
gloves.
Human, or he's a human cannonball or
right,
something,
yeah.
Right?
You know? Hits people with his head.
Yes, exactly.
He would do better in the leotards of the wrestling star Avalanche,
well, even
who has the seismometer reading
earthquake,
on his stomach.
Actually. His earthquake. Earthquake the wrestler. Yeah.
You know, even he's just got this giant A on his chest, too, and that doesn't really denote itself that he's an earthquake guy. Like, he should be Q for Quake or something.
Q for Quake. You know who is a much better Earthquake character?
Who's that?
World Wildlife Federation. Earthquack.
Earthquack.
The duck.
The
seismic powers.
Seismic powered duck. Does his costume look much like Avalanche's costume?
No. It's all in the name.
Yeah.
Terra from the Teen Titans.
Oh, good one. And Geo... So guys, the other
Geoforce.
Guy. Geoforce.
Was he?
Didn't he have?
He had just said blast.
No,
he had nothing to do with earthquakes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why was he called Geoforce then?
Yeah, I didn't really get that either.
Because he got his powers from the earth somehow.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Recall. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I'm not
but
a DC
Terra
guy.
Definitely, Terra not... do recall having these kind of powers that we're talking about.
I'm not a DC guy. I will never.
You will never be a DC guy.
No, I just it'll never be the first thing that occurs to me. I always fall back on Marvel.
Fair enough.
Any video games besides Quake, the fake-out?
No.
With earthquakes in it.
Earthquake games, no.
No, I can't really think of any.
Maybe our listeners could write in on
causticsodapodcast.com.
Comment on our earthquake episode. And
yeah.
Let us know where we went wrong.
We've got
tell us all of our faults.